Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
All right. Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass here. It is nice and early on Sunday, and I'm Matthew Nickel, and joining me today is the head coach of our softball program, John Nelson. So, John, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start off, with the fact that the Vikings are 4-0 for the first time since 2015 after the Blue Angle invite, here this week. And starting off, I was looking at the schedule. You had Stevens Point, which was ranked, and just how important was it to start the season, with a nice statement win against a ranked opponent like Stevens Point?
Yeah, it was definitely a statement win. We came into the game with motivated youngsters who weren't there last year, wanting to kind of put their skills on video and make a statement. But then we had players who returned from last year with a bad taste in their mouth, knowing we really had a chance to beat them last year. We kind of beat ourselves. And I'm really, really impressed with how collectively as a team we responded and how we competed. A team that's ranked top 25, they're going to make a run. And I felt like we weathered the storm very maturely when they put their scoring run up. And then we turned around and answered. So saw a lot of really, really good things in that game, especially.
Well, and you came back with a 15-1 win, right after. You had a nice comeback win in the bottom of the seventh over Edgewood, and a big win over Knox. And did that win against Stevens Point kind of really provide like a fundamental building block for the rest of that tournament?
I think it kind of highlighted to the players that if we go out there and compete, we can beat anybody. In that second game, we played 21 players in that game against Mount Mary. We knew that they're down a little bit this year. Their coaches had just left like 2 weeks ago to take another coaching position. So their program's in a little bit of disarray. So it was an opportunity for us to see everybody. And again, when you get 21 kids out there in a game like that, it was awesome to see everybody go out there and kind of shake the nerves off, shake the rust off, get back into game mode to prepare us for the two games on Friday, which we, kind of did the same thing. We faced a really, really tough Edgewood team that beat us last year. It was a very competitive game. And we grinded through that one and played with a lot of poise. Both, the Stevens Point game and the Edgewood game, both games came with a lot of poise from our players. So I'm really proud of them. And then in that second game yesterday, same kind of thing, or Friday, same kind of thing. We wanted to, see everybody who hadn't played in those first two games and just give everybody opportunities to put their skills on tape and, see what they could do, shake off some nerves and some rust. and because we're going to need everybody, in a spring season, you end up needing a lot of people. A lot of times, even though we have 28 players, it's still kind of a season and a sport of attrition. And, we just got to make sure everybody's ready.
Well, and let's talk about that schedule because, one, I think it was at Louisville Slugger, facility. Yes, it's an indoor facility, which is, great for this time of year, but an 8 o'clock game one and a 10 o'clock game two of a doubleheader, only to come back and have to play at 12:30, the next day is game one in a doubleheader. Like, how do you prepare the team, for a schedule like that and for such a late game?
Well, first of all, we drew back to our previous year when we were there, when we played at 9 p.m. and 11 p.m., got back to the hotel at 1 and played again at 8 a.m. So this year we got a lot more rest and a lot more than the previous year. So we did kind of draw back on that and just be like, hey, just be thankful we're not last game to first game, you know, Thursday to Friday. But we also went over to TBK on Tuesday and Wednesday this week and practiced at 10 o'clock at night, 10 to 12 at night, just to kind of get our bodies into that kind of rhythm of competing late at night. And then and it worked out really well. We had great practices over there, and we were definitely productive on Thursday and Friday.
Now, have you been able to leverage the TBK a little bit more over the last 2 years at all, or is that kind of the first time you've had a chance to use it?
It's the first time. I mean, they have two facilities there now, two indoor facilities. They have a brand new one that they just built. I've talked to the guys from JP Sports, and they kind of gave me a tour, and we're talking about us hosting an indoor tournament there next year. So, you know, part of that was just, you know, let us rent the place. We need to get some indoor practices early in the season, and they were happy to oblige and help us out. Their staff over there was great, and we were just able to get our work in and make it work for us, being later at night, and like I said, getting our bodies ready to compete later at night.
Yeah, absolutely. Now it's your second year, you know, at the helm for the Vikings. You know, and going back to, you know, September of 2023, when you made that announcement that you'd be leaving, you know, Rock Ridge to come to Augustana, you know, what was the journey like to come to that decision?
You know, I looked into it the year before, actually, when they were hiring and interviewed, and it didn't work out. And, you know, which was fine with me. We stayed at Rock Ridge and won another state title, and that went great, and not going to complain about that. And that same summer I was recruited to coach at Ole Miss with Coach Jamie Traxel. She also needed a pitching coach, and I recommended Coach Carl Golan, who was actually kind of talking to her at about the same time. So he ended up taking that job, and then I was able to apply and interview again, and this time they ended up hiring me. So it worked out really well. Coming into that season, there were a lot of unknowns, you know, coaching. You know, they say the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next. And definitely learned that, you know, kind of being at the top of the mountain at Rock Ridge and then starting fresh at Augustana with a group of players who were extremely tough, gone through four coaches in 4 years. I was the fourth in 4 years. So the buy-in wasn't there. And that was tough, but slowly but surely towards the end of the season, everybody started to buy in a little more and more and more, and we ended up having a pretty good season that first season there, you know, taking second in league and then third in the tournament. Not bad at all. We were able to recruit 10 incredible freshmen that are there right now with us, 10 24s, and they're all impactful players. I mean, I think one of the games this weekend we started five or six freshmen. You know, in the first game and the third game, I think it was almost all freshmen and sophomores, except for maybe Lauren Coster and one other junior, Emma Evans, maybe, or Emily Gadd. I can't remember who else was out there, but pretty young. But again, you know, that first season kind of put everybody on alert that, you know, I like John Lackey said when he went to the Cubs, I didn't come here for a haircut, came here to win. And I kind of have one speed, and I want to win a national championship, and that's what we're getting after. So the buy-in this year is incredible. The leadership is incredible. The team culture is just amazing. And not that it wasn't last year, but it is definitely stepped up to a newer level this year. And the process has been a lot of fun, and I'm very, very humbled and happy and just thrilled to be here.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you talked a lot about the success last year. I mean, 26-15, 12-4 in the conference. You know, you had the most wins in a season since 2015. You know, you had, what, six all-conference selections. And, you know, how did you and the team, you know, find success and start to get that buy-in? You know, were there, like, some immediate changes you made, you know, when you came into the program? You know, how did you kind of get that team to start to rally around, like, you know, the art of the possible and what they could be?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit of it was leaning on the experience of the players that we had last year. We had a very senior led, senior heavy team last year with one of the best pitchers that our program has ever seen in Nadia Ranieri. You know, she holds the strikeouts record for a season, strikeouts record for a career. You lean on people like that and an incredible catcher like Morgan Bielefeldt that we had last year, and just excellent, great power hitting from Ashlyn Mathers and Claudia Buchholz, and great two-hole hitter and Jenica Solis. So we had a lot of really, really good senior leaders who we leaned on them. We leaned on them for their game experience. They did a great job holding the team accountable and making sure that everybody was, you know, working hard to get to their ceiling. And, you know, I introduced concepts here and there, and you know, at first it was, what are you talking about kind of stuff, you know, kind of that reaction. We've never done this before. And there was a lot of new, but I think slowly but surely they started to buy in. And once they did, it was really good. I think they understood that I'm there for them. I'm a servant leader. I'm there to help them make their experience better. And at the same time, I'm not a my way or the highway kind of guy. I like to get input from players and listen to their input. I feel like their feelings and thoughts and opinions are very, very important to the process. So I think it was a trust thing, you know, once they started to trust me, we were able to get things rolling. But again, I mean, we relied on their athleticism and their softball skills and experience, and they helped a ton.
Well, and it's, you know, that's a lot for players to kind of manage, you know, going through four different coaches in four different seasons, and, you know, and then starting to see a lot of success, you know, not only last year, but this year. And, you know, we were talking before we kicked off here, just, you know, the men's game last night, and, you know, kind of Delp is in his first full season. You know, they knocked off 11th ranked Illinois Wesleyan. They now host the game Tuesday, you know, and it's, you know, kind of same thing with them when Gray Giovanni left and they had Schaefer and then Jesse, you know, and then kind of back to Delp now. You know, there's, you know, these last kind of 4 years, 4 year students have, you know, gone through some kind of trials and tribulations here, but, what do you think about, you know, now the softball program, I think, is back on a really great track. You know, you've got the basketball team, obviously the baseball team, you know, does really well. You know, when you think about like the process, you know, in your first year of recruiting, you know, now that you're going, you know, we're going into your second year, you know, what were some of the characteristics maybe of the types of players and athletes that you were looking for? Because you obviously get a lot of exposure through Havoc as well and travel ball tournaments. But, you know, that's probably something, you know, relatively new, right? You didn't necessarily have to do at Rockridge. So tell me a little bit about kind of that first year process.
Yeah, I mean, I have a definitely, excuse me, a specific type of player that I like. First and foremost, great student athletes. I want servant leaders. I want kids who are selfless, who celebrate their teammates more than they care about the accolades of themselves. So that's, I look for great people first and foremost. When I came in, you know, I had a pretty big list. And what's funny is Coach Golan left some of his players he was looking at also a list, and some of them are also on that. So that was validating at the least. That was pretty cool. But yeah, that first year, you know, immediately our I think our first recruit was Lexi Duke, who you know, our first two, and they both played for my Havoc team, Lexi Duke and Elena Diaz, who are both starters right now, doing great. Had a great weekend this weekend. Elena Diaz was on fire, just doing great things the whole weekend. So I was proud to see what she could do. And then we had Michaelin Hofer transfer in from Cornell, and Tegan Nies transfer in from Ole Miss, and that was mid-season last year. So they were great additions. And then the rest of the freshmen that we brought in were just kids that I'd seen on the local and regional scene, and just really, really impressed with. Just couldn't be happier with the freshmen that we have. Before I got there, Coach Golan had offers out to Jordan Faust from Lubbock, Texas, and Sienna Ridgely from Schererville, Indiana, and I honored those, and they're doing a great job. I'm super happy that we have them. You know, the rest of the freshmen kind of came in, Abby Hieronymus, left-handed hitter from up near Chicago, is doing a great job. We have a pitcher here from Las Vegas, Jenna Becker, doing a nice job. Olivia Osborne is a catcher from a kind of a local Rock Falls girl. I couldn't be happier with the group of players that we've got in. We've got a Wisconsin triple threat lefty, Emma Schmidt. She's pretty fantastic. She definitely brings the speed. And I was, you know, coming in, that was the one thing that, you know, after evaluating our team in the first, you know, month, we needed more athleticism. We needed more speed. We need more range. We need to be able to, last year was a lot of station to station base running, wait for home runs. Couldn't do a lot of stealing, whereas this year we had I think 3 really good hit and runs this weekend. I can't tell you how many stolen bases we had, but we had multiple stolen bases. We actually had kids called out for leaving early, which I'm proud of. I like
being aggressive
base running. Yes. But yeah, we're really happy with everyone that we've got. I'm sure I've left people off, but I couldn't be happier with the group of players that we have right now. And the 25s that we have coming in next year are going to make us even better. I mean, they're fantastic. We've got 4 of them committed. One Rock Island girl, Orion Lonergan, right-handed pitcher, outfielder, fantastic, plays at Rock Island High School. And then Lindsay Levine from Frankfort, Illinois, triple threat lefty with blazing speed. And then Jill Indiana, power hitter, can hit the ball through power. And then Lexi Horn, an incredible triple threat lefty who can also hit the ball out of the park. So we're bringing in just a lot of athleticism, a lot of kids I think are going to come in and be impactful and help our team get to where we need to be. And again, there we got done playing yesterday. I get on the bus and I got texts from, you know, almost all of them, you know, just being like, you know, telling me that they followed us and they can't wait and they're so happy for the team. So that's good. I mean, we're bringing in the right kind of kids.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, after your first season was over and, you know, you began to start kind of the reflection process. I mean, you talked about athleticism, but what were just some of the things you wanted to really focus on as you head into this season?
Again, establishing a winning culture, getting more buy-in, more accountability. I mean, one of the things that I did last year when I came in, I'm a bit much to handle. So I'm not the easiest guy to play for sometimes. Sometimes I'm a blast, sometimes I'm not that easy. But you know, I'm a lot. So one of the things that I slipped on my first year was accountability. I didn't hold everybody nearly as accountable as I usually do, because I'm trying to just kind of slowly kind of enter my way in. And even like players who had played for me before would kind of look at me like, you're going to let that go, you know? So, but this year it's, the accountability is incredible. I feel like a lot of it comes from our players and our leaders. We've got a great leadership group. I think that's helping us kind of get to where we need to be. What was the actual question now that I started rambling?
Oh, again? I was just saying this, you know, what were some of the things you were focusing on as you head into the season? You know, 'cause you talked a lot about obviously recruiting the athleticism part. But yeah, you talked about, you know, a lot about just, again, the accountability, you know, being a big focus, you know, for the Vikings. And, you know, because when I think about, I think, like,
building the infrastructure of the program. I mean, mm-hmm. when I came in last year, our gear was down. We did a lot of fundraising. We've brought all of our gear up to an acceptable, you know, we have acceptable training gear now, you know, better uniforms, all that kind of stuff. We're now looking at a new facility. Our softball diamond's not going to be there much longer with the master campus plan. So we're looking at different plots of land and figuring out funding for that. We would like to have a new stadium in the next, you know, year or two, as far as I'm concerned. I feel like Mike Sapolsky and Wes, they're both helping me out a ton. I mean, we've toured different places, we've talked to different people, and that process is slow, but it's definitely moving. It'll never move as fast as I want it to move, but I'm definitely willing to get my hands dirty and get in there and do the legwork. So that's another big part of it. I think, you know, in order for us to compete with the Wesleyans and the Millikens and North Centrals, and, you know, when it comes to recruiting, I mean, my first year here, two of the first no's that I got went to Wesleyan, and they cited better facilities. So yep. We're going to fix it. Yeah, that's something that we can definitely get after and fix. Because again, you're going to need those kind of players to make it to the national level.
Well, and it's, you know, when you think about, you know, the cost of Augustana, you know, that's one financial hurdle every student has to, you know, that's a choice they have to make. But then, you know, you take a look at that and say, well, how are they investing back into the sport, you know, that I'm going to go and play? You know, so it's it was great to kind of see and hear about the broader master plan, you know, for Augustana and, you know, all the things that go into it. And, you know, gosh, I mean, when I was there, you know, our Erickson Field was just, you know, Erickson Field. It didn't have it wasn't the complex and all the other cool stuff there. And, you know, we used to practice right behind the softball, you know, diamond there, know, in the grass. So it's been awesome to see where it's coming from and the new pool they have and some of the other things. So it's been awesome. Now I was going to ask you, who are the captains for the softball team?
We don't really have captains, excuse me, per se. We have leadership groups. My thing is like captains, you know, one of my assistant coaches at Rockridge, Jimmy Garrett, he's phenomenal, but you know, he always brought up the phrase, captains are appointed, but leaders are anointed. And so to me, you know, captains are kind of like, sometimes it's a popularity contest, and especially when you let the players vote on it, and there might be some peer pressure and this and that. And, you know, to me, you have leaders and let them lead. And then when people start following them, they become anointed and they become your true leaders. And, since graduation last year, Lauren Coster has stepped up, and she's been our leader. She literally came to me and said, "Coach, I want to lead this team. I want to get them to buy in. I want to get them to play hard behind me when I'm pitching and when all the pitchers are pitching. And I want to help hold them accountable. But I have to get better. I got to learn to do that." And she leaned on Nadia Ranieri, who was hands down, no doubt, our main leader last year. When she talked, everybody shut up and they listened and they respected her and they bought into the things that she was talking about. That's happening this year for Lauren too. I think she's our main leader, but you know, we have a couple of seniors, a couple of juniors, one freshman, one sophomore on that leadership group. And we meet frequently and we've got our own separate text, thread that, you know, we talk about and, they bounce things off of me. I bounce things off of them, and we have a good collaboration. And that's kind of how we're doing it this year.
I don't know. I like it. You know, would you maybe, you know, spend a little bit of time talking a bit about your coaching staff? So, you know, Sarah Durbin and Dan Fisher. A little bit of background on them.
Yeah. So Sarah Durbin was the head softball coach at Orion High School, and I competed against her all the time, and I always had way more talent than she had, but she competed her tail off, man. It was unbelievable. And she'd bark at me, and I ended up I didn't like her at first because I was just like, oh, she's kind of rough around the edges. But then when I realized, wait a minute, she's just competing and she's being passionate about her team, and I liked it. I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. And then year after year after year, we started to become friends. And I definitely developed a high level of respect. She still plays. I mean, this winter she played in, I think, Florida or Texas, and she played in Las Vegas this time last year and actually went out and watched Jenna Becker while she was playing. She's playing at the same complex Jenna Becker was playing at. So she's still an athlete. So it's pretty awesome. So she brings I think, you know, having a female coach here is very, very important. She's able to relate to the players and meet with them on a different level sometimes maybe I can't. And she's in between, you know, to her for certain things before they come to me, and she's phenomenal. She owes me the world. I did introduce her to her husband, so she can't ever leave. She's got to stay here forever. Coach Dan Fisher, our pitching coach, I go way back with him. He was my daughter's pitching coach when my daughter was in junior high and high school. phenomenal pitching coach who has developed, I can't tell you how many D1 kids out of the Quad Cities. I mean, if you're an elite pitcher, you're probably pitching with him. One of our 26 pitchers is coming in, pitches with him. He developed Kendra Lewis, who I had at Rock Ridge, who is now at Wisconsin, doing great things as a freshman there. He's another guy who knows how to coach, knows how to talk to student athletes, respects them, and is able to get them to the next level. So really, really happy to have both of those coaches. We'll probably add a coach next year. We had Coach Jacob Batista. He's been here for the last 6 or 7 years, but he's taken a more active role, kind of as an associate head coach at UT this year. So he's back down so that he can help out United Township. So very, very happy and fortunate to have both of those coaches with us. I think we're a better team for having both of them there.
Do you feel like one thing that just popped in my head as you're talking about that, and you know, a number of the baseball players go up and play in that Northwoods League, you know, during the summer, you know, and they've really expanded the softball side of things. I know, you know, Madison, you know, just started their program a year or two ago up there. Do you see or are any of the softball players kind of going out and branching out into any of those other leagues like during the summer at all?
The ones that are still eligible for travel ball, I encourage them to play. That would be basically just our freshmen. They're still eligible to play as long as I think they have to have a 2006 birthday. They're so good. But yeah, the Madison team is great. I had a girl who used to play for me on the Havoc who plays at Wisconsin now. Hillary Blomberg, she plays on that team. Her twin sister also plays on that team, I believe. So that's pretty awesome. And you know, I encourage all the players, get as many reps as you can. I'm definitely not one of those guys who says, you know, shut it down for the summer and don't get hurt. I'm the opposite. I'm like, go get after it, you know. Develop your skills, get your reps, and you know, be ready to come in the fall.
Now, the Vikings have, thinking a little about the schedule here, you have 4 weeks before you travel to Lebanon, Tennessee. How do you keep the Vikings, you know, kind of poised and game ready, you know, during this next kind of 4 weeks?
Yeah, we do have a doubleheader with Blackhawk, a JV doubleheader. So we'll prepare for that. We'll also continue to scrimmage. We got beautiful weather coming this week. I wouldn't say beautiful, but for late February, it's beautiful. Yeah. 50s. So we'll be out on the football field playing, and we'll get on our diamond as soon as we can. And we scrimmage. We did that every Friday. We had a competitive fall. We used every Friday we called it the Friday Night Lights Queen of the Diamond. And we used Athletes Unlimited scoring. So every player got points for everything they did on the offensive and defensive side. And then cumulatively, over 7 weeks, we added up the scores and we made a big championship belt and handed, you know, awarded that. Elena Diaz, freshman, won it this year. So it was pretty cool. And that was kind of how we kept our competitive edge. And that's how we got in 14 more games in the fall. Cause you know, at D3, you get to play on one day, I think 21 innings. So we were able to, you know, play a 9-inning game every Friday. And it was a lot of fun. It was very competitive, and that really helped us evaluate and helped us at the same time kind of install plays, install defenses and things like that in a competitive game environment.
Now, you know, looking at the home schedule, you know, you have some good non-conference matchups. You know, you've got Platteville, you've got ranked Wisconsin-Whitewater coming down. You know, how important is it to you to schedule tough non-conference opponents?
It's extremely important. If you kind of look at how I did things at Rock Ridge, it's how I'm trying to do them here. At Rock Ridge, when I got there, we were from Central Illinois. And my first year there, I got all those teams off and I added every Western Big Six team. And so our goal every year was to win the Western Big Six and our conference. And I think the last 6 years that we were there, we were able to accomplish that. So it's kind of the same thing. I want to, you know, slowly but surely add as many ranked opponents, you know, Platteville, Coe, teams like that. Of course, Wisconsin, Whitewater, Water, and Stevens Point, definitely. And we talked. I talked to Stevens Point this weekend, and we have agreed to not play in the Mount Mary tournament against each other anymore. But we're going to add doubleheaders home and away, so that we can make sure we're continuing to, you know, iron sharpens iron, and you just have to play the best competition. I don't really care. I don't really care about our record. I don't. I hate losing more than I love winning. But at the same time, those are the kinds of teams that you have to play and you have to learn how to beat if you want to win your conference, because we don't play in the easiest of softball conferences. And so that's our non-conference schedule has got to get better and stronger, and it's going to. And that's no disrespect to the teams that we're not playing. But of course, you know, as long as we make it into our conference tournament and we're able to try to qualify for the NCAA tournament from there, that's what matters. You know, when your conference record and your, you know, and just get to the tournament, that's what we want to do. But yeah, I want to play those teams, because you get out there and you learn how to play and beat those teams, then you're going to go a long way in the playoffs.
Absolutely. It's a great recruiting tool. You know, from the other, you know, kind of other side of the fence too, just around, you know, the level of talent that you're playing, you know, and that obviously always helps from an overall national ranking, you know, from our end when we go out and we do win those games. You know, it shows a lot of good grit, and I think you just can't be scared, you know, to go out and want to play those folks. So,
yeah, because really, I mean, rankings is somebody's opinion. It's a collective group of people's opinion. You know, I think in the Massa rankings right now, I think we're 95th in the country, but we just beat a number 23. So what does that mean? What does it mean? So it's the game. It's 60 feet and turn left. It's throw strikes, hit strikes, make the plays, you know, and you can beat anybody. I don't care who it is. But the better the competition you play, you know, if you play B talent, you develop to B talent. If you play to A talent, you develop to A talent. And so we're definitely going to be playing to A talent as much as possible.
Absolutely. Now, lastly, you know, you've been president of the Heartland Havoc Girls Fast Pitch thing since what, 2007. You know, you give, you know, weekly like hitting lessons during the week. How do you kind of balance all that, you know, with your role, you know, as the Vikings head coach?
So hitting lessons, people ask all the time, you know, hey, can I set up a visit? Can I set up a visit? Absolutely. Come take as many visits as you want. I'd love to have you there. But just because you play for Havoc doesn't mean I'm going to recruit you. And even the kids on my Havoc team, at the first meeting, I told them, I'm not going to recruit you unless you want to go to Augie. If you want to go to Augie, you come talk to me, because we have to be able to have that professional relationship with the Havoc. And funny enough, you know, three of my 26 are coming from that team. But they came to me, and they're incredible players. And so I'm pretty excited about that. But you just have to set the limits and let them know that, you know, I will help them get anywhere they want. I mean, on our team right now, I've got a couple of kids signed at a couple of JUCOs. We're talking to a couple of D1s and D2s for another girl. You know, I'm there to help them get to wherever they want to servant leader. I want them to go to where they want to be. But if they want to come to Augie, I know they're going to come in playing the game the right way and playing at a high level, because that's what that organization is about. That's what that team's about. You know, and I tell them all the kids that come in, I don't recruit a kid to come in and be a role player. I'm asking you to come here to be an impactful player right away. Right. But I'm telling my current players, guess what? I've got talent coming in. Your job's to keep them on the bench. You know, again, iron sharpens iron, and we're going to be competitive within our team. And that's just going to push us to be a more competitive team. But yeah, Havoc kids aren't bad. But you know, Quad City softball as a whole is really good. It's a hotbed of talent, and it always has been. So you don't have to get Havoc kids. You could get Sluggers, you could get, you know, Firebirds kids. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's a hotbed for softball, and there's a lot of softball here all summer. So we're fortunate enough to be able to see a lot of teams from out of town come in and play some highly competitive softball.
I love it. Well, John, you know, thanks again for connecting with me here today. And obviously it's a pleasure to have you on, and I'm hopeful we can get some softball players on here kind of throughout the season. And, here kind of wrapping up, basketball season, and God, baseball and softball is kicking off. So it's a fun time of the year for sure. And starts to get pretty darn busy. So, but again, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We'll be right back.